Thank you. We usually play that music because we're getting ready to go on the radio, but the ladies that run the radio aren't here today. So I just kind of jumped up ahead of time. I wanted to share with you, John said he ordered these books for the so that you'd know what we're going to be studying in prayer meeting. It's called the Church Transformation Series. It was written by Kim Allen Johnson in the Florida Conference. And there's three books, and they cost $14 for the three of them. And the first one is called Spiritual Bodybuilding. The second one is I'm Allergic to Witnessing. And the third one is Journey into Oneness. So after we finish Nehemiah this next Wednesday, I'm assuming we'll get done with Nehemiah, then we'll be starting those three books. This morning, I want to talk to you about a ship named the Pelicano. It was the world's most unwanted ship. If you got here and had this on the back of your bulletin, I put a picture of it. I pulled it off the internet last night or yesterday, and then when I came in to make the bulletins yesterday, I printed that on there. It says on the side of the ship, it's S-A-V-E-I-R-O-S, Saveiros Pelicano. So that was the whole name, but I just called it the Pelicano. Starting in 1986, the Pelicano became the hobo of the high seas. No one wanted her. Sri Lanka didn't, Bermuda didn't, the Dominican Republic didn't, and the Netherlands turned her away, the Antilles and Honduras. But the problem is not the boat, though rusty and barnacled. The 466-foot freighter is seaworthy. The problem is not the ownership. The owners have kept the license current and the taxes paid. The problem is not the crew. They may feel unwanted, but they know how to do their job. Then you might ask, what is the problem? What is the reason for years of rejection? Waved away in Sri Lanka, turned away in Indonesia, rejected in Haiti. Why was the Pelicano the most unwanted ship in the world? Simple. She was full of trash. 14,000 tons of trash. That's a lot of trash, isn't it? If you take 14,000 tons times 2,000 per ton, that's 28 million pounds of trash. Orange peels, beer bottles, newspapers, half-eaten hot dogs, trash. The trash of Philadelphia's long summer of 1986. That's when the municipal workers went on strike. That's when the trash piled higher and higher. That's when Georgia refused to take it and New Jersey declined to receive it. No one wanted Philadelphia's trash. That's when the Pelicano entered the picture. The owner thought that they'd make a quick buck by hauling the rubbish away. The trash was burned and the ashes were dumped into the belly of the ship, but no one would take it. Initially, it was too much. Eventually, it was too old. Who wants potentially toxic trash? The plight of the Pelicano is proof that trash-filled ships find few friends. The plight of the Pelicano is also a parable. Trash-filled hearts don't fare much better. I wonder this morning if you can relate to the Pelicano. Are you unwanted at the dock, drifting farther and farther from friends, family, and the Lord? If so, you might want to check your heart for garbage. I know that sounds terrible, but I couldn't come up with another word. Life has a way of unloading her rubbish on our decks. Your husband works too much. Your wife gripes too much. Your boss expects too much. Your kids whine too much. The result, trash. Load after load of anger, guilt, bitterness, bigotry, anxiety, deceit, impatience, and it all piles up. Trash affects us. It contaminates our relationships. It did Cain's. He had anger in his mind before he had blood on his hands. And Martha? Martha was meddlesome in her attitude before she was quarrelsome with her tongue. And what about the Pharisees? They killed Christ in their hearts before they hung him on the cross. Mark it down, today's thoughts are tomorrow's actions. Today's jealousy is tomorrow's temper tantrums. Today's bigotry is tomorrow's hate crimes. Today's anger is tomorrow's abuse. Today's lust is tomorrow's adultery. Today's greed is tomorrow's robbery. Today's guilt is tomorrow's fear. Today's thoughts are tomorrow's actions. Could that be why Paul wrote, "Love keeps no record of wrongs"? Let the trash on board, and people are going to smell it. The trouble for the Pelicano began with the first shovelful. The crew should have turned it away at the gate. Life would have been much better and easier for everyone on board if they had. Life will be better for you and me if we do the same thing. Some folks don't know we have an option. "Don't talk to me," we say. "I'm in a bad mood." As if a bad mood were a place to which we were assigned rather than an emotion that we permit. Or we say, "Don't mess with her. She has a bad disposition." Is a bad disposition something we have, like a cold or the flu? Or do we have a choice? Paul says we do. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, "We capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ." Do you hear some battlefield jargon in that scripture? Capture, make it give up, obey Christ. Do you get the impression that we are the soldiers and our thoughts can be the enemy? Our mission is to protect the boat and refuse entrance to any and all trashy thoughts. Capturing thoughts is serious business. It was for Jesus. Remember the thoughts that came his way, courtesy of Peter? Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, and beginning with verse 21. "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man.'" Pay close attention to the decisiveness of Christ. After Peter's comment, Christ said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." A trashy thought was given to the Lord via Peter, and Christ may have been tempted to entertain it. A crossless life, wouldn't that be nice? But then he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," as if to say, "You're not allowed to enter into my mind." What if you did that? What if you took every thought captive? What if you refused to let any trash enter your mind? What if you took the counsel of Solomon? Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Ministry of Healing, page 349. The restoration and uplifting of humanity begins in the home. The work of parents underlies every other. Society is composed of families and is what the heads of the families make it. Out of the heart, the issues of life. And the heart of the community, of the church, and of the nation is the household. The well-being of society, the success of the church, the prosperity of the nation depends upon home influence. Another reading of this same scripture says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. You're driving home when the words of a coworker come to mind. He needled you about your performance today. He second-guessed your efficiency. Wonder why he was so hard on you. I didn't deserve any of that. Who is he to criticize me? Besides, all his taste is in his mouth. Have you seen those shoes that he wears? At this point, you need to make a choice. Am I going to keep a list of these wrongs? You can. They want on board. Are you going to let them in? If you do, you'll be as smelly as the Pelicano by the time you reach home. Or you can do something else. You can take those thoughts captive. Maybe quote a Bible verse. How about Romans 12:14? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Remember, just because there's trash on the dock, that doesn't mean that there has to be trash on your ship. You are not a victim of your thoughts. You have a voice. You have a choice. How would you change the plight of the Pelicano? Change your cargo. Load the decks with flowers instead of trash. Then no one would turn her away. Change the cargo and you change the ship. By the same token, change the thoughts and you change the person. If today's thoughts are tomorrow's actions, what would happen if we filled our minds with God's love? Would it change our attitude about others? Paul says absolutely. It's not enough to keep the bad stuff out. We have to let the good stuff in. Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians, a familiar verse, chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Rather than storing up the sour, store up the sweet. You want to make a list? Then list God's mercies. List the number of times God has forgiven you. See if God's love doesn't do for you what it did for the woman in Samaria. Talk about a woman who could make a list. First, there was discrimination. She was a Samaritan, hated by the Jews. Second, she was gender biased. She's a female, looked down on by men. And third, she is a divorcee, not once, not twice. Let's see if we can count. Four, five. Five times, five marriages turned south, and now she's sharing a bed with a guy who wouldn't give her a ring. Certainly not Samaria's finest. Certainly not the woman you'd put in charge of the ladies' Bible class, which makes the fact that Jesus does just that all more surprising. He doesn't just put her in charge of the class, he puts her in charge of evangelizing the whole town. Before the day is over, the entire city hears about a man who claims to be God. She says, "He told me everything I ever did," and then leaving out the obvious, and she says, "He loved me anyway." A little rain can strengthen a flower stem. A little love can change a life. Another Pelicano forever fumigated. And why? Not just because of what Jesus did, though that was huge, but because this woman let Jesus make those changes in her life. She let him on board. She let him love her. She let him change the cargo. He found her full of trash, and he left her full of grace. She and Zacchaeus and the Apostle Paul and the woman in Capernaum and millions of others invited him into their hearts. She didn't have to. They didn't have to. And this morning, you don't have to either. You really don't. You can stick with your long list of stinky cargo and drift from port to port if you want to. But why would you? Your captain, Jesus Christ, has better plans for you.